Jasmine.
Morning.
Good morning. I'm not sure if everybody has muted their phone or not.
Not yet.
Hello.
Oh, how are you?
I'm tired. I'm here. How are you?
Baruch Hashem, I'm well.
Baruch Hashem.
I hope you all had an easy fast and that your Yom Kippur was especially meaningful. Please join me in saying the Ana B'Koach. Ana B'Koach Gedulat Shemincha Tatir Tzerura Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi Kabel Rinat Amcha sadvenu tacharenu no ra kufre shayan sintet nun na gibor dor sheyechudcha kevavat shamren nun gimel dalet yud kaf shin Bahem tacharem ratame sikatcha tamid gamlem betet reish sadi taf gimel chasin kadosh virotucha nael adata pet kufet pet nunayan Yachid geyeh lamcha p'nei zokre kidushata Yud gimel lamed pei zayim kuf Shavatenu kabel ushma tziyakatenu yodea talumo shin kufav tzaviyim taf The letters of the month of Tishrei, the letter Pei that created the planet Noga, the planet Venus, and the letter Lamed that created the constellation Mosnayim, the scales, which is the astrological sign of Libra. Together, the Pei and the Lamed as a gematria of 110. But when we add the concealed bet in within the letter pet, pay, there's an additional two that should be added, making 112, which is the Hebrew word yavok, which is the river that Jacob crossed to wrestle with the angel of death, the angel of the nation of Esau. 112 is a number that connects to unification, that connects to being able to unify in many ways. One way is to connect the name Echye, Aleph Hey Yud Ke, with the name Hashem, Yud Hey Vav Hey, with the name Adonai, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Echye has a gematria of 21. Hashem 26 and Adonai 65. And if you total those three numbers, it comes to 112. Now that we have brought the energy of creation into our space, we are going to separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of that creation. And while we're saying the word separation, we need to understand that the separation serves the purpose of unification. And we're going to do this separation unification with the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai, Adonai, El Rachum Vechanun, Erech Apaim, Verav Chesed Ve'emet, Notze Chesed La'alafim, Noseaon Wafesha, Vechata'a Vinakei. We're now going to read a verse from the Zohar, from Parashat Yitro, Pasuk 29, which has the energy of certainty. And we'll start with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud Kudsha Berichu Ishkinte Bithilu Erchimu Hilu Hilu Erchimu Le'achda L'shem Yud He Bevav He Yehuda shelim b'shem kol Yisrael, limud Torah mitzvah, lasok Torah mitzvah. Vayhino am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maaseh yadeinu konenei aleinu maaseh yadeinu konenehu. Rabbi Abba amar b'kama atar tanenan. Dekucha berichu koma diaved leela witata kolaihu kishot liovada dikshot veleilach mila bialma divae barnash ledachia leya mineya ulan haga. Beya kolana dehakulu ovada dikshot inun wikola it's the reef be alma. Now we're going to connect to the energy of the year 5778. The energy of this year is bow. Bowing time, a time to bow. And there are two verses that connect to this energy. The first that we study is 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 6. And we read the verse as that is considered study. But there, of course, there is much more to go into it, as the links on our summary pages have demonstrated. Vayishkav Amnon, Vayitchal v'yavo, Hamelech liroto, Vayomer Amnon, El Hamelech tavo, Natamar achoti, Utlabev le'elaine, Sh'teli v'ivot v'yevre. Me Ada.
Ruby.
The second verse that we study connecting to the year 5778 is Psalm chapter 32, verse 5. Concealed in this verse is the name of the year, Tafshenayim Chet. The letters of this name are separated by three letters each. And the number three we know connects to the tree of life, the right, left, and central columns.
Hatati odiacha v'avoni lo kisiti
Amartya de ale pasha la donai yo he wahe veata nasata avon khatati stela. The year 5777, the energy of the goat, also has two verses that we will study. The first is chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52. There seems to be some static or background noise. I'd appreciate it if you'd mute your phone by pressing star 6. Tod saduni katsipor oyevai hinan. When we take the first letters of these words, we have Tzatzki Ak, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters of these words, Dir Yam, translates as a sea of tenants. There is a second verse, which is Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. Concealed in this verse is the name of the year, Tashin Ayin Zion, and these letters are separated by seven letters each. And we know the energy of the number seven has to do with the energy of the physical world. Kim ba Adonai yo he wahe Elohechem tadibaku kasher asitem Ad Hayom Hazeh. The year 5776 has the energy of the year of the pause, and there are two verses that connect to this energy as well. The first is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Raka Kohanim Hayulimat Willo Yachlu Lehashit Et Kol Haolot Vayechaskum Achechem Halevim Ad Kilot Hamlacha Viad Yitkachu Hakohanim Ki Halevim Yishreleval Lehitkadesh Mehakohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letters of these words, we're able to permute them into eight names of God. Here are those names. Adonai Yohei Wahei La La Hei Wa 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 Yo La Yo Ala Mei Hei 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 Aka A Reka Ha. The second verse connecting to the energy of the pause is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bitru ba Adonai yo he wahe ade ad ki biya yo he Adonai yo he wahe tsur olami. The year 5775 has the energy of swallowing death forever. There are three verses that connect to this energy that we study. Job chapter 7, verse 19 is the first. Kama lo tishem imeni lo tarpeni ad bili ruki. 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23 is the next verse we study. Uru Udu mikol hamachazoriyam. Asher yitzabe sham v'shavtem eilayel nachon. V'chalati yitzem v'chayayim yeshno. V'aretz v'chipasti oto b'kol alfei yehuda. In the third verse is Job chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanetzach yoved roav yomru ayo. The year 5774 has the energy of peace in the Middle East. There's only one verse that has the energy of this in all of the Tanakh. It's the year 57. It's the verse, 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wisam ti makom le'ami le'Yisrael unta ti v'shakan ta'akta v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu. Vene avla la'anoto ka'asher barishona. We're now going to connect to the energy of the 72 names of God. We do this by saying the names out loud, by using the root vowels for the letters. Wahe wayo layo sayote alame. Mehe shi la la he aka aka heta heza yo alada la awa he heya yozala me behe he re yo he kome la awa kala yo la wa wa pe he la nula ha yo 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 me la he he he. Wa muta he he a a yo re ta shi a he pre yo yo a wa me la ka be wa shi re yo he wa la he he ko wa to me nu da a nu yo he a me re he a yo yo za he 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 me yo ha. Wa wa la yo la he sa a la a re yo a shi la me yo he wa he wa da nu yo he he shi a me me nu nu wa nu yo ta me be he pe wa yo nu me me yo yo la he re he me tsa re. Wa me be yo he he, anu wa me he yo, ta me be me nu ko, ayo a he be wa, re a he yo be me, he yo yo me wa me. There are three names on this chart that connect directly to the year 5778, and it's good to add, after you've scanned the whole chart, to add a meditation, a reconnection to these three names. The first is name number 13, Yud Zayin Lamed, Yozala. The energy of this name is heaven on earth. The second of the three is name number 14, Mem Bet He, May Be He. The energy of this name is farewell to arms. And the third is name number 30, Aleph Vav Mem, Awa Me. The energy of this name is building bridges. And one thing we can learn from this is that the tool of building bridges between people is how we will stop conflicts, which is the meaning of farewell to arms. And ultimately, that will bring heaven on to earth, down to earth. Now, we will connect to the 72 names from the Tzaddikim in the same manner we did the 72 names. Wah, 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 yo, 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 sa, be, te, a, me, me, be, shi, la, yo, he, anu, a, ka, me, ta, he, he, yo, anu, da, la, he, wa, he, me, a, yo, ta, la, me, re, he, he, yo, yo, he, me, me, la, wa, wa, ka, be, yo, la, yo, wa, he, nu, la, nu me cha yo he yo, me nu he 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 wa. Nu yo he he shi ya, yo re ta shi ya he. Re la yo, a wa me, la yo be wa. Wa he re, yo yo wa, la he he. Ka a ko me nu da, a nu yo he wa me. Re he ah yo he za, me shi he me kacho, me kacha yo wa la yo yo he sa ala, are yo wa ala me ta he, wa he wa, da la yo he yo shi, ala me ne nu he ah, nu wa ta. Me la he pe a yo nu ko me. Yo re la he be he. Me za re wa he be. Yo a he a la wa. Me za yo da he be. Me ka ko a la a. Te te wa re la he. Yo yo me he la yo. Me he me. There is one name that connects to the energy of the year, 5778, the year of bowing. That name is in the same location and in the same letters as in the 72 name chart. And we know there's no coincidence. That name is Awame, Aleph Vav Mem, has the energy of building bridges. And in the Hebrew Bible, whenever emphasis is placed on a particular subject, if the word that in effect in English we bold the letters, the way that Bible reinforces that energy is to duplicate the word. The next word is the same word. And that's one of the messages of this name of building bridges, how important it is to build bridges among people to reduce conflict in the world. The Tzaddikim who left today, which is the 11th day of Tishrei, Rabbi Huna Bere Mar Sutra. And Mar Bar Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi is the actually the redactor of the Gemara, I believe it is. Rabbi Tav Yomi, Rabbi Yitzhak Halevi of Speyer, known as the Rivo, and Rabbi Abraham Abish of Frankfurt, Rabbi Tzvi Aryeh of Alik, and Rabbi Menachem Mendel of Bohush. And the eighth verse of the Anava Koach we say in a whisper. I will add the Sadikim who come in tonight because of the 12th day of Tishrei, starts at sundown tonight. Rabbi Abraham the Malach, he was the son of the Magid de Mezrich. He is known as a very righteous human being, and it is worth studying his words. Rabbi Yechmiel Michel of Zivil. Today's class can be found, the handout can be found on the Advanced Teshuvah class's landing page. We've been using that same landing page for a number of weeks. You can find it in row 8 of the matrix, the Revealed Wisdom Matrix, the second column from the left. When the landing page opens up, please scroll down to class 6B. That's Tishrei Holidays Part 3. 6B as in boy. And when that opens up, we are going to be talking about the holiday of Sukkot, which starts Wednesday night. And you thought the high holidays were over, which is what, unfortunately, the Western world and the American Jewish establishment seems to understand. They know about these holidays. They mention these holidays, but the people do not seem to respond as easily to these holidays. So we're going to try and understand why. Today is Sunday, the 11th of Tishrei. It is the first day of the energy of Chesed being in the universe. It is the Keter of Chesed. It's actually the Keter and the Chachmah of Chesed, as I will explain shortly. After the breakfast, it is recommended to do one action that commences the building of the sukkah. If you didn't do it last night, do it today. If you're not building a sukkah, make a drawing of a sukkah. Connect your consciousness to the holiday of Sukkot and to the structure, the antenna of drawing chesed, which is the sukkah itself. There are 4 days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. The Ari HaKadosh, Rabbi Isaac Luria, says, during these days, the energy of Chesed comes into the universe. These are not holidays in the traditional sense. They're high energy days, and they're useful days. And because of these days, we can stay at the same level of consciousness that we reached last night in the prayer of Ne'ilah. Day 11, today is the Keter and Chokmah of Chesed. This year it is the evening of September 30th. Tomorrow, Monday, tonight, is the Bina of Chesed. I know the handout says Chokmah, but we need to make that adjustment. And it begins Well, it begins tonight. Zeranpin of Chesed is Tuesday, and the Malchut of Chesed is Wednesday, the day. The holiday of Sukkot is about generating the energy of Chesed for your whole year. It represents the right column of the Tree of Life. Included in Chesed is the energy of certainty. When one builds a hut and moves to dwell in that hut for a period of 7 days, one is demonstrating and increasing his level of certainty with the Creator, about the Creator. The sukkah itself is an antenna for the energy of Chesed. The four species are also antennae for a different level of Chesed. The sukkah represents surrounding light, while the four species represents the eternal energy, the internal light. The hakafot represent manifesting the surrounding light for the whole year. This is also the holiday that creates the possibility to eliminate anti-Semitism for the year. Failure to do this action just allows anti-Semitism to grow. And you have seen this happening this year more than probably the previous 25 years. This is done through the hearing of the daily Torah reading, dealing with the 70 bulls that are sacrificed during the week of Sukkot. There is a unique ritual called Baal HaShueva, the pouring of the water. In temple times, this was done each day, taking a water barrel to the river to retrieve water to wash the altar. It is done today only one day during the holiday of Sukkot, and usually on the fourth day of Chesed, which would be next Sunday. The Talmud describes this as not knowing joy until you experience Baal HaShueva, this ritual. I highly recommend you attempt to experience it. It's an amazing level of joy that can be reached. And here is an email that I had sent previously to explain Sukkot, and the dates have been updated by one of our students, Hannah, who has volunteered to update the pages, like dates throughout all of the pages. And it's not an easy task. There's a lot of dates written in our web pages, and as our web pages grow, more dates. So she has been updating them for a number of years. And if someone else wants to volunteer to do other things within our website and in other ways, we can help. We would appreciate these volunteering. Shabbat Sukkot Chol HaMoed is an amazing experience when one understands the message in the reading. The essence of this reading is balance. That is why the last phrase in the last verse of the reading is the famous verse, "Do not cook a calf in its mother's milk." This is the essence of the laws of kashrut. Most people are never informed that these regulations help us maintain balance in our lives by not eating things that have too much mixed energy. This is explained by the phrase dealing with milk, a food that has the energy of continuity and cooking a slaughtered cow, which represents the energy of death, or end. When this is done, people with Jewish souls find it difficult to balance these two energies. It is my opinion that this is true for every human being. And one of the strongest attacks that the Satan made on humanity, on lengthening the process, was to misinterpret a dream that is written in the New Testament. The Satan didn't manifest that misinterpretation. That was done by the church. But the Satan, like Hashem, uses tools. And those tools are people, many times. Continuing to read. We also get this message when we look at the 38 verses in the reading on Shabbat Chol HaMoed Sukkot. The word lach means freshness. Lach is 38. It means freshness, vigor, moisture, or virility. When we add the 6 verses of the Maftir, we get 44, which is the Hebrew word for blood, or dam, Dalet Mem. And do you see how these words are opposites? Finally, the 240 verses in the book Kohelet, which is the gematria of the Hebrew word safek, which is doubt. It is also the gematria of the nation of Amalek. There are 17 spaces representing the word tov, which means good. Again, the balancing of the two kinds of energy. Doubt can never be good, which is why Hashem is at war with Amalek throughout the generations. Finally, an amazing revelation. There are 2 large letters in Kohelet, the book that is read this coming Shabbat. A tet in chapter 7, verse 1, and a samach in chapter 12, verse 13. This word tos, spelled tet vav samach, means to speed or to fly. In reverse order, samach vav tet, sot means to deviate. When we thought of an acronym, Tet means good, and Samach means somech, support. We learn from these letters it is good to support others, which is the essence of chesed. Now let us look at the Haftorah that is read on Sukkot. The 22 verses that relate to the 22 Hebrew letters. The 3 spaces represent the 3 columns from the Tree of Life. And I have discussed this before, but to make it easy for those of us with bad memories, the 3 columns are right, which represents sharing, left, which represents receiving, and the central column, which balances the 2 aspects of sharing and receiving. When we have the 22 letters in the format of the 3 columns, we have the Tree of Life. To truly understand Sukkot and Shabbat Chol HaMoed, we need to understand about the 70 sacrifices, which are read by the daily readings of the Torah that we read during Sukkot. There are 3 rituals associated with Sukkot. One is the sukkah, which represents and actually is an antenna to draw the energy of chesed, of loving kindness. Of the energy store known as Bina. Sukkot is Chesed of Bina. We make much use of the energy store. Bina, which we reached on Yom Kippur when we create the year of our desires. Two, the shaking of the four species, the Arba Minim, which represents the drawing of the energy of Chesed of Zeranpin. The Hakafot, or the circles that we do each day, and multiple circles on Hoshana Rabbah. These circles are antenna for the energy of Chesed of Malchut. We can see now how these rituals unite the three levels of Bina, Zeranpin, and Malchut. And when we unite three, they become one. This is really the secret of Jacob marrying both Leah and Rachel. These two sisters are chariots, channels for Bina and Malchut, while Jacob represents Zeranpin. This is why the 12 tribes of the children of Israel came out of these three chariots, which are really one, the Jewish nation, the children of Israel. On the first day of Sukkot, the Maftir reading is about 13 paras, 13 bulls. On the second day, we decrease by 1 to 12. And on the third day, we come down to 11. And this continues until on the seventh day, we sacrifice 7 bulls. Guess what the sum of 13 plus 12 plus 11 plus 10 plus 9 plus 8 plus 7 adds up to? 70. One bull is sacrificed for each of the 70 nations. When the temple existed, the sacrifice was done by the priests, the Kohanim. After the destruction of the temple, the sages teach us that the reading, the hearing of the Torah portions, replaces the sacrifices and does what the actual sacrifice did in the temple. This, of course, must be done by each member of the tribe of the children of Israel. Each, even if one person is missing, the other 70 nations feel a lack from the sacrifice. Yet the more children of Israel who hear the readings, the less lack they feel. When the lack is too large, due to not enough children of Israel doing their spiritual work, the nations do actions of anti-Semitism to wake up the children of Israel. This is the reason that anti-Semitism exists in the physical world. Let me explain further. The Jewish nation is doing its spiritual job and sharing from these sacrifices with the 70 other nations. These nations do not feel any lack in the area that relates to its relationship with the children of Israel. Each nation has a unique relationship to the children of Israel. That unique relationship is different for each nation, and it feels the lack in a different way than every other nation. Each year there are 7 days of Sukkot. When we do these sacrifices correctly on a given day, those nations connected to those sacrifices for that day do not feel as strong a lack, and there is no outbreak of anti-Semitic acts of violence from them. But no sage has taught us, to my knowledge, which which days, which number of bulls go to which nation. We just know that each nation receives one bull. On years and days when we do not do our work correctly, the lack that these nations feel is overwhelming, and the results are acts of anti-Semitism. You don't believe me? Follow the statistics that are kept by people who track the results of anti-Semitic actions for yourself, and you will see that I am correct. I hope you will join in keeping anti-Semitic acts to a minimum. I hope you will share with the other nations by listening to the Torah each day during the week of Sukkot. While I cannot determine the time to be accurate for the reading of the 7 days, we will be reading the Torah these 7 days. And I'm not sure if I can make this work, but if I can, there will be a conference call for the length of the Torah reading each day. There will be no discussion because, especially on the holidays, the first 2 days and the last 2 days, where we will have a different connection. I don't want to disturb the people by having the phones out at that time. So I'm not sure if it can be worked on those days, but on the other days, I will definitely have the conference calls and you'll be able to tune in to the reading. Day number 15 is Chesed of Bina, and that's the first day of Sukkot. Day number 16 is the Giburah of Chesed of Bina. It's also a holiday in the diaspora, as we are. Day number 17 is Tiferet of Chesed of Bina. It's the first day of the Chol HaMoed. And Chol HaMoed is a very interesting discussion, which we won't have at this time, but I will discuss it another time. And day 18 is the second day of Chol HaMoed. Day 19 is the third day of Chol HaMoed, and that day is I got confused. I apologize. Let me just go on. Chol HaMoed Day 15. Shabbat Chol HaMoed is actually the first day of Chol HaMoed this year. There are some additional rituals associated with the seventh day, which is Hoshana Rabbah. It is an all-night study. It is also the night to check the shadow and learn if you will pass the year. Chas v'shalom. After the morning prayer, there is the grounding of the Givurot, which is done by hitting five aravot, five willows on the ground. While one meditates with each hitting on the one of the five final letters, the mem sofit, the nun sofit, the tzadi sofit, the pei sofit, and the kaf sofit. And the Kabbalists perform the tashlik during the night of Hoshana Rabbah. Tashlik is a ritual that throws away the last of your sins, including any dust of the sins, which is a Kabbalistic concept that is too long to explain in this paragraph. Most people do it on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, the first afternoon. The Kabbalists do it on the afternoon of Hoshana Rabbah. Now I'm going to discuss Hoshana Rabbah. It begins the evening of October 10th. Tuesday, October 10th, that evening, it begins Hoshana Rabbah. And we will not have a full all-night study, but we will follow some of the ritual. And I will be announcing that on my classes on next Sunday in the email that I send out and Monday, so it'll be clear when that all night study will begin. During that Hoshana Rabbah prayer, morning prayer, we make seven circles, seven hachakafot instead of one, which is why during the holiday of Sukkot we make a total of 13 hachakafot. And that literally is the number connected to unity, echad, oneness in Hebrew. And you begin to see all of the connections starting to expand and become more powerful as we grow spiritually. Hoshana is an Aramaic word that is translated as supplication. It actually better to think of as thankfulness. We use a modern word today called mindfulness that seems to be a translation of one of the Eastern words. But let us start to use the word thankfulness to represent this idea of having a constant appreciation of appreciation. The word Rabbah is Aramaic and also Hebrew, and it means great, large. Thus, Hoshana Rabbah means the large supplication or the great supplication, the great amount of thankfulness. The code word of this meaning, and the reason, in my opinion, the seventh day of Sukkot has a special name, the manifestation of the desire to receive for the light of Hashem to be revealed in the year 5778. The Kabbalists teach that during this night we read from the complete Sefer Devarim, as the Torah tells us to do once every 7 years. Also, after this reading, the Kabbalists teach that there is a last opportunity to correct any health or financial issues that might take place during the year. This is done by checking for our tselem, our shadow. This is not our physical shadow, but our spiritual shadow. If you are interested in performing the ritual or connecting to the ritual, give me a call. Let us discuss your training to be able to do this. At this point, I would think it is too late to do it for this year, but if you call me now, we can start preparing you for next year. Another ritual done during this night is performed right after the morning prayer, when we break the givurot by hitting 5 aravot, 5 willow branches against the ground, while meditating on the 5 final letters, referred to as mansapach. These 5 letters relate to the end of days and the coming of the Mashiach. This is what the breaking of the judgments is all about, bringing Mashiach. Here's a recommended kavanah from the writings of the Arizal to have while hitting the willows. Of the 5 willow branches, aravot, the numerical value of arava, willow, is 277, the same as the Hebrew word zera, meaning seed. The Holy Ari taught that when we beat the willow to the ground and we meditate to break, to weaken, and to sweeten the judgment, we do not make a blessing on this action, because the action itself makes them vessels, not words. The vessels of the willow branches are a vote that grow by the water, elevate new seeds of light called Mem Nun, female waters, Mayim Nukvim, actions below which cause a response in the upper worlds. With each hit on the ground, we break the Givurah of one of the 5 final letters, Mansapach. With each hit of the willow on the ground, meditate on the shape of the letter, and say out loud the name of the letter, Mem Sofi, Nun Sofi, Tzadit Sofi, Pe Sofi, and Kaf Sofi. There is a wonderful teaching from Rabbi Cook, the first Ashkenazi chief rabbi of Jerusalem, and he is one of the foremost Kabbalists of the 20th century as well. The teaching starts with the Midrash, the metaphor, that each of the 4 species used during the waving on Sukkot represents one part of the Jewish nation. The etrog, which has good taste and smell, is a fruit representing those Jewish people who study Torah and have good deeds and mitzvot to their merit. The lulav, which comes from a fruit tree, represents those people with good deeds, with mitzvot to their merit. The myrtle, which has good smell, represents the Jews who have Torah study to their merit. Their avot, or the willow, has neither good smell nor good taste, and does not come from a tree with fruit. The willow, the aravot, represents the common people. This leads to a question: why would we hit the ground with the willow? Is it punishment for the common person who does not do mitzvot or study Torah? And Rabbi Cook explains a story in the Talmud. Here is a description. In the Talmudic times, there was a sect called Boethusians who disagreed with many of the rulings of the sages. One disagreement concerned the willow ceremony. The Boethusians prohibited observing the ceremony on the Sabbath. One year when Hoshana Rabbah fell on the Sabbath, the Boethusians took the willows and covered them with stones. They knew the rabbis would not permit moving the stones on the Sabbath, since stones are muksa. Muksa is a status of an object as it relates to the energy of Shabbat. On Shabbat morning, however, some simple folk who were ignorant about the prohibition of muksa pulled out the willow boughs from under the stones. Then the Kohanim were able to raise the willows alongside the altar. Why does the Talmud emphasize that this praiseworthy act was performed by common folk? By covering the boughs with stones, the Boethusians had placed the sages in a quandary. If the willow boughs were not used, the Boethusians could cite this as proof that the rabbis had conceded to their opinion that willow should not be raised on the Sabbath. On the other hand, if the rabbis decided to move the stones, the Boethusians could have announced that the rabbinic prohibition of muksa had been abolished. Fortunately, the problem never materialized. The simple Jews resolved the dilemma in their own typical manner. They did not ask questions. Rather alarmed by the scandal, they responded by simply removing the willows from under the stones. In Israel, the custom, the minhag, is not to enter the sukkah after the breaking of the givurot, under the kiddush of the Mashiach, which is done as the last kiddush of Simchat Torah. During this kiddush, there is a prayer for the coming of Mashiach and the meal of the Leviathan in the sukkah of the Tzaddikim. We are out of time. This is the end of our class. There's obviously a lot more material to discuss about Sukkot, and we will be studying the Zohar on Sukkot later today in our 3 o'clock class, and also on Monday and possibly Tuesday in our 7 o'clock class. We will be having mini Zohar classes Monday, Tuesday, but not Wednesday night, because we're entering into Sukkot Wednesday night. But we will have a 7 o'clock class on Wednesday night and also Thursday night. I'm trying to get back to our normal schedule. And most people, most of my students, do not quite follow all of the halachot. And that's part of their process. It's not a criticism. So in order to make use of time and to help people, we will be studying those days as well. Does anyone have any questions?
I have a question. Who does Leviathan represent? What's the symbolic meaning of that?
Well, it's the same as the big fish in the book of Jonah. It represents the end of the renewal, the end of change. It represents the time of Mashiach. It represents so many things that it would be unending to discuss it. I would recommend that you do some research on the on Google on the word Leviathan and recognize that much of what you will research will be impacted by the people who follow the man from Nazareth. So take the material with a grain of salt. Use a good amount of discernment as you study it. But there's truths to find there. I hope that's the beginning of your study. And I hope you're not frustrated by the lack of time that we have.
No, not at all.
Are there any other questions?
Yes, I
what
have
time
a question.
Go ahead.
Oh, my question is about when it says holiday of Sukkot is Hesed of Hesed, is in Bina, is that what you say?
Yes, it's
in
Hesed,
the Sefirah Bina.
You broke up on your last question. What was it?
The same question.
It's Chesed of Bina. On Yom Kippur, in the prayer of Nila, the last meal, the fifth meal on Yom Kippur, we reached cosmic Bina. It's the only time in the whole year where we have reached cosmic Bina. And now we have 10 days or 11 days to connect to the light of Bina. And the Ari has told us that these 11 days are connected in various ways to the Sefirot, each day with a different Sefirah. But it's all within the frame of Bina, cosmic Bina. That's why it's a time of great joy, because Bina represents the world that is coming. The energy of the next 11 days, starting today, that energy is that of the world that is coming. It's just whether you have not yet done another sin so that you would be falling from that level. And of course, everyone does, probably on the first 10 minutes, but let's assume that it lasts a little bit of time. Again, this is not a criticism, it's a description. We are all prone to sin because we live in a world that is controlled by the negative system. And the only thing that keeps us in balance is our Torah study and our mitzvot. Our Torah study, our mitzvot, and our good deeds, which are mitzvot, which is part of Torah study.
Actually, this is a great gift. On the 4th is my birthday. So
this year. So I'm glad to hear that. Thank you, Jasmine.
No, it's fine. I just want to say it because of, you know, the importance of the dates, and I'm so glad.
Baruch Hashem. I believe, Ruby, you wanted to continue a conversation, continue a question?
No, I was just reflecting back. I was reading somewhere, I can't remember, it's been a while, that the book of Job was kind of like connected to the beginning of like Genesis with the fall of Adam and Chava. And I had seen the word Leviathan connected with one of, it was either Jacob or one of the prophets. But I'll have to go
Leviathan,
back and find
it. There's a midrash about the Leviathan and the great blue cow or bull. It's they're all metaphorical understandings of what is involved with Mashiach. And, you know, we can talk for hours about Mashiach, you know that. But, you know, succinctly, if Mashiach can even be brought into a level called the succinctly, the Mashiach can come with judgment. Or Mashiach can come with love. And for different people, Mashiach will manifest in different ways. If you have lived your life connected to the physicality, the pleasures of the world, Mashiach is going to be saying to you, you didn't do your study, you didn't do the mitzvot, you didn't grow, now you have to. So start, and the taskmasters will come in and cause people, they will want to, so it won't be on the idea of slavery, but the stress, the attitude, the difficulty will be that much greater. Because we're doing it, we're studying the Torah through free choice. There will be no more free choice. And that's what the Leviathan and the Blue Bull and a lot of these metaphors are relating to. But people don't want to hear that. People don't want to know that. People don't want to understand that. Because it would mean having to come out of our comfort zones.
And this repeats itself in each generation or epoch.
Correct. Every generation has the opportunity to bring Mashiach. And every generation that didn't bring Mashiach is repeating the destruction of the temple. It's repeating the process of what needs to happen that hasn't yet happened. And it's been going on now for 3,000 years or thereabouts. But don't become depressed because it's a day of joy. Mashiach is coming today. And if he doesn't come today, it's my fault. And so I have to do better, so he'll come tomorrow. Be happy. Fake it till you make it. Any other questions?
I have a question, Hanok. Is it right that we can try to talk to the Sefer Abina and ask questions to it?
Is it all right?
Well, yeah, well, I mean, is that a way to do it or...
The answer is yes. It's a way to do it. It's all right to do it. It's, in my opinion, required to do it. Required for your spiritual growth. What is Bina? put Bina in a few words. What is the energy of Bina? What is the essence of Bina? I'll put
Mother?
It in one word. That's right. That's the one word. Now, what does Mother mean to you?
Nourishment?
I get it. No, it's a rhetorical question at this point. I guarantee you that what Mother means to you is not what Mother means to me. Everybody has a mother. In the case of an orphan, the mother is distant. In the case of other people, they have difficult mothers. In the case of other people, they have the mother they're very close to. And there's how many different levels between those three different love descriptions? So how do you know what the meaning of mother is unless you talk to your mother? How do you know what the meaning of mother is unless you experience the actions of your mother? Bina is our mother. We have a father and we have a mother. Our father is God. What is who or what or is our mother? You have to talk to your mother. You have to talk to the Sephiroth. That is my opinion. That is
but
one of the tools. Yes, Ruby.
Are father and mother ever really separated?
No, they're always unified. Hakma and Bina are always unified. But that doesn't mean that they're the same. And you can talk to one, and you can talk to the other, and then you can talk to both of them unified and see how their answers relate and change when they're unified, when you're speaking to them. Because when you're in the meditation, it's your perceptions that are happening. So how you perceive Bina and how you perceive Hakma will change as how you perceive them unified. They do not change. They're always unified. But what does that mean to you? How can you use this knowledge in your life? You can think you can be spoon-fed with this information, but you can't. You have to experience it by doing it. This is my opinion.
Can you ask a dream question?
Yes. Is your question, can I ask a dream question and direct it to Bina? No. You ask a dream question to the universe. To all 10 levels of Sephiroth. And you will get the answer from whatever level is appropriate for you to get that answer at that time for that energy of that day. And if you need to know that energy, they'll make you aware of that level. So to delve into which Sephiroth answered my dream question today is you're starting to masturbate. You're starting to just be busy with things that don't help you in doing your work. If you need that information for doing your work, you'll get that information. But stay focused on your work and don't get drawn away for intellectual curiosity. K. curiosity is a good thing. I'm not sure that intellectual curiosity is so beneficial. Again, that's my opinion. Any other questions? Now, from this class today, could you tell that I had a wonderful Yom Kippur?
You sound energized.
Everyone have a beautiful week. Shavuot Tov. Shavuot to all.
Thank you.